أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. واللعنة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إلى دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صلوات برنيك بارا. Tonight's majlis is dedicated to our fourth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Hussein Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wassalam, being the occasion of the anniversary of his shahadat. Imam was known by his famous title Zainul Abidin, which means the beauty of the worshippers or the prince of the worshippers. And I would like to talk about that aspect of the Imam's contribution and legacy for the Shia community as far as this concept of ibadat, more in the form of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is concerned. We know that in Islam, Quran is the divine book, and that is the foundation of all our teachings and value systems. In Shia Islam, we are also blessed, besides the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we have two important legacies from the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. One is known as Nahyul Balagha, the sayings and the lectures and the letters of Amir al-Mu'mineen compiled by Sayyid Razi. And the second is known as As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, the compilation of the du'as from our fourth Imam. The first Ali left a rich treasure for us on theology, social justice, and remembrance and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the second Ali, Ali Zainul Abidin, left a rich treasure for us for spirituality and devotional prayers. When we talk about praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the meaning of dua, not in the meaning of salat and the ritual prayers, where we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that in Islam, this issue of us as believers and human beings talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered to be very important, especially from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He really loves to hear our voice when we are talking to Him. And this is where, for example, in the ayat of Quran from Surah Baqarah, ayat number 186, which actually came within the ayat dealing with the month of Ramadan, because the month of Ramadan is also the month of du'as. But the theme and the message of this verse is very universal. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي. O Muhammad, when my servants ask you about me, where am I? Respond to them by saying, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am very close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I respond to their du'as when somebody who supplicates or prays to me. Of course, this has to be a two-way, understanding. Allah says, you pray to me, you ask for things, but you have to remember, فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, you also have to respond to my call and my message. وَلِيُؤْمِنُ بِي, and believe in me, trust me. Sometimes you might ask for something where there will be a delay. It's not because I don't want to give it to you. I look at it whether this is good for you or not. Or is this the time, or should it be delayed as far as fulfillment of your prayers are concerned? So have trust in me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, and this is how hopefully you will be guided in the right way. So this is one ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, talk to me, I am very close to you. In surah number 7, ayat 55, again he says, اُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ, call upon your Lord, تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً, call him, pray to him, you know, openly, and also in form of khufya, which means whispering, and privately. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ, he doesn't like those who exceed the limits which Allah has put for them. So here we see two kinds of concept where Allah says, you know, sometimes you might find yourself in a distressful situation and you will just say, oh my God, you know, help me out. You might say it publicly, even though there might be people around you, but you wouldn't be ashamed to ask Allah's help. And sometimes you do it khufyatan. You whisper your plea. Others do not hear about that. Then we go on to chapter 17, ayat 110. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ اِدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِلْ عُدْعُوا الرَّحْمَانِ, you know, either call me by my proper name Allah, or call me by my attributes. For example, say, Ya Ar-Rahman. أَيَّمَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, whatever names you call in addressing me, it is good, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautiful names. You know, we have 99 names known to us for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we go on to chapter number 40, ayat number 14, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk to him, but you should do that with total sincerity in the religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for you. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, even if the kafirun, the non-believers, might ridicule you, they don't like when you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wouldn't like even when you mention God to be part of your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't, you know, worry about them, what, don't care about what they say or they think. Talk to me, I would like to listen to you. And then finally, from chapter 40 again, ayat number 60, where he says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord says to you, Udu'uni, call me, call upon me, astajib lakum, I will respond to you. Inna alladhina yastakbiruna an ibadati sayadkhuluna jahannam dakhirin. It's a very powerful message Allah is giving. He says, verily those who behave arrogantly and would want to, you know, move away from worshipping me or calling upon me, they think they are, you know, very great. And they can see this. Allah says, I consider that to be a sign of arrogance. When you say, oh, I don't need to talk to him, I don't need to ask for him for help, this is takabbur, this is known as arrogance. And Allah says, such people, I don't like arrogant people, they will enter the Jahannam in the state of disgrace. And so we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the believers to talk to him. They want, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to speak to him, you know, and ask him for help in different situations. And when you refrain for that, Allah takes that as a sign of your arrogance. You say, you know, we don't need you. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't take it lightly. When he looks at this issue of, you know, istikbar and arrogance from the people. And so this is where we see that the Quran is very clear about asking the believers to communicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talk to him whenever they feel that there is a need to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is there. You don't need any appointment. You don't have to, you know, pay any fees. You can talk in whatever language you want. You see, even it says, whether you call me as Allah or Ar-Rahman or any of the Asma, Husna, the beautiful names, doesn't matter. But call me. That is the main thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Let's hear a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. So keeping this, you know, conceptual background, this idea in the background, when we look at As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya or As-Sahifa Al-Kamila, which is the written treasure of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wassalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, which he has left for us. And this has come through two of his sons, from Zayd and also from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. And it is a book which consists of 54 du'as, prayers. And it also has some additional prayers and especially munajat. Munajat means whispered prayers, which is at the end of the book. Remember the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, call me openly or call me khufiyatan, in a whispering and in secrecy, nobody else is hearing. Even in that, that's what is known as najwa. And this is munajat. Munajat actually means whispered prayers. And that is also sometimes very important when we want to establish our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Imam has actually in this book known as Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, he has actually taught us how to communicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a variety of situations. Initially there are prayers where we just ask for Allah's blessings on Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt, and the blessings on the angels. That's also part of what we call dua. When you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, that is a dua, where we are asking for the blessings of Allah on the family of the Prophet and his family. Then we talk about, you know, the issue of blessing ourselves and our family. And then there are duas which Imam says, you know, you should recite in the morning and the evening. Then actually in the supplement of this dua, Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, there are actually some duas for each day of the week. Specific duas. Some of them are there also in Mafatihul Jinan, taken from Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya. And then when you come to the main part of the section of Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, you will see there are duas and prayers for all different situations. What is some task or seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, yearning to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, praying for good outcome of what you are doing. Because when we are doing something, yes, it's our hard work, it's our idea. But remember, the results are not guaranteed. And so we do what we are supposed to do. We have to have our part of the process. But then we should also pray for the good outcome of what we are doing. Then there is a dua where we confess our own weaknesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. Then there are duas where we seek an hajat, special hajat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we are talking about, you know, suffering that a person feels because of have done wrong things. You know, a person, you know, himself or herself will feel very bad about it. So there's dua for that. There is a dua when a person is sick. They are asked, you know, there's dua where a person would like to be released from the worries or against the shaitan, or when you find yourself in a different peril, in difficulties. Even when there is drought and there is no water, there is a dua for that. Makarim al-akhlaq, where we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to understand and inculcate, you know, moral traits within ourselves. When we are in a situation of sorrow, when we are in the situation of hardship, we pray for our well-being, for our parents, for our children, for our neighbors, for our friends, even for the soldiers who are at the frontier guarding, the lands. And also when you want to feel like you would like to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when you realize that your risk and sustenance has been restrained, or when you're talking about help in paying off your debts, or when it comes to the issue of doing tawbah and repentance, special du'as during the night time, asking for the best that Allah can give to you. When you are afflicted with a challenge or a disease, or when you are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you contentment, to be satisfied with whatever He has provided for you. And this is where we see that, even when you hear, thunder, there is a dua for it. If you want to sit down one day and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is dua for thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam is teaching us how to communicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different situations. Even when we finish the recitation of the Quran, there is a dua for that. When we look at the new moon, especially in Ramadan or Eid or other times, or when Ramadan is coming, welcoming Ramadan is one dua. Saying Khuda Hafiz and bidding farewell to the month of Ramadan, duas for Eid al-Fitr on Fridays, and dua for the day of Arafah, the day of Eid al-Adha. The duas to repeal our enemies from us, or also duas where a person is in the state of fear, or imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look towards us and send His blessings upon us. And also for removal of worries. The reason I'm mentioning all these varieties of the du'as is there is to just urge you, all brothers and sisters, followers of Ali, Ali Murtaza, as well as Ali Zainul Abideen, that at least look at the table of contents of Sahifa Sajjadiyya, so you are familiar that there is something in there, you have it home, in different situation, then you will be able to go there, open the book, and pick up the relevant dua, and start reading it, inshallah. Salawat Pranay Kparao. For tonight, I would like to actually go to one specific dua from As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya. And this is dua number 15. Since we are going through this COVID-19 situation, the coronavirus is really, upset our life, our schedule, our meetings with those who are near and dear to us. We were thinking this might be just a temporary phase, but it seems it has taken so many months now and we don't even know when this is going to end. We are just praying that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relieve us from this problem of COVID-19. And so I thought maybe, for my own sake and for everyone else, I would wanted to go through this dua that Imam has shown to us in dua number 15 of As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, which is to be recited during illness. We are talking about here a general situation, not only for those who might be already, have that virus. We are talking about even the byproducts and different challenges that we are facing at that time. To understand this dua, I have divided it into four segments. The first part is very interesting. And this is where we realize we should not only just complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where we learn how to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our imams. The first part is beginning with the praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a dua for our illness, but you begin with praising Allah and thanking Him. اللهم لك الحمد على ما لم أزل أتصرف فيه من سلامة بدني ولك الحمد على ما أحدثت فيه في ولك الحمد على ما أحدثت بي من علة في جسدي O God, praise belongs to you for the good health of my body, because of which I have been able to move around. So first we have to thank, at least we had the health, if not now, in the past, where we are able to go around, move around, do things. And O Allah, praise belongs to you for the ailment or the illness which you have caused to arise in my body. And we will understand this, what does Imam, you know, mean by that, thanking Allah even for the illness. فَمَا أَدْرِيَا إِلَٰهِ أَيِّ الْحَالَيْنَ أَحَقُّ بِالشُّكْرِ لَكَ. I do not know, my God, which of the two states deserves more my thanking you. وَأَيِّ الْوَقْتَيْنَ أَوْلَى بِالْحَمْدِ لَكَ. And I do not know which of the two times is more worthy for my praise of you. And then he further explains, you know, which of, and this is where we come to the second segment, which of the two states deserves more thanks, when we were in good health or now that we are in the state of illness? Because Imam is saying, you know, I don't know which is more worthier for me to thank and praise you. Which of these two times? أَوَقْتُ الصِّحَّةِ أَلَّتِي هنأتني فيها طيبات رزقك ونشدتني بها لابتغاء مرضاتك وفضلك وقويتني معها على ما وفقتني له من طاعتك. والله, I don't know which of the two states are more, you know, deserving of thanking you. The time of health, which you made me a delight in your good provision, through which you gave me the joy to seek the means to your good pleasure and bounty, and by which you strengthened me for the act of obedience which you helped me to accomplish. Should I thank you for the health by which I was able to do all these three things? You know, so that I had the delight in the provision that you gave to me, and you had, you know, gave me the joys for seeking your pleasure and your bounty, and strength me for doing the ibadat and obedience, and you gave me the opportunity to do that. Or should I thank you more? أَمْ وَقْتُ الْعِلَّ أَلَّتِي مَحَّسْتَنِي بِهَا. Or should I thank you more for the time of illness through which you put me to the test? وَالنِّعْمَ الَّتِي أَتْحَفْتَنِي بِهَا. Or by that you have bestowed me favors. This is interesting. Imam is saying that, I say to Allah, should I thank you for giving me this illness, you know, by which you have bestowed, you know, favors on me? Or what are the favors that Imam is referring to? He explains that. Say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should I thank you for the favors you have given me in the illness? Number one, تَخْفِيفًا لِمَا سَقُلَ بِهِ عَلَى ذَحْرِ مِنَ الْخَطِيئَاتِ. Number one, the first thing you have done during my illness, you have lightened for me the offenses, this which had, you know, put my back under strain. There was a weight on my back, but because of the illness, you are basically making it lighter and forgiving those the wrong that I had done. Or number two, tathiran lima in ghamastu fihi min as-sayyi'at. Or you are, you know, for purification of the evil deeds in which I had plunged. Now that I am ill, I am not going into it, and this itself is an opportunity for staying away from the sins. وَتَنْبِيهًا لِتَنَاوُلِ التَّوْبَةِ. And maybe this is also an indication from you. By making me ill, this is a kind of an indication that maybe this is the time you should repent for your, you know, wrongdoings. وَتَذْكِيرًا لِمَحْوِ الْحَوْبَ بِقَدِيمِ النِّعْمَةِ. And as a reminder of the erasure of misdeed through ancient favors. You know, so what the Imam is saying, that even the time of illness has a positivity into it, and look at it and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that positive aspect of the state of illness. The third segment is where Imam says, you know, ask for special blessings during the illness. وَفِي خِلَالِ ذَلِكَ مَا كَتَبَ لِلْكَاتِبَيْنِ مِنْ زَكِيِّ الْعَمَالِ مَا لَا قَلْبٌ فَكَّرَ فِيهِ وَلَا لِسَانٌ نَطَقَ بِهِ وَلَا جَارِحَةٌ تَكَلَّفْتُهُ. Ajib. Imam is actually saying now, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is a special blessings you have given to me in this state of illness. And what is that? He says, and through all that, you have asked the two writers, you know, the angels who write our deeds and record our deeds. During the illness, what does Allah ask these two angels who are sitting there on the shoulders of the believers? O Allah, you have asked these two writers to write for me good deeds, which no mind of mine or heart had even thought of, and I had not even uttered anything about it, and my limbs, my body had not done anything. Rather, you actually, out of your grace, you have asked this malakain, katibain, that they should actually write some good deeds that I didn't even think about it, but I did not even talk about it, and I have not even acted on them as a special prayers during as a special blessing and favor during the time of illness. So when a person is not feeling well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually instructs those two angels who are recording our deeds to aid in some good deeds that we did not even think of it as a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to compensate the state of illness that we are in it. And at the end, we come to the fourth segment of the dua, where we basically are asking for some personal issues. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. This is a normal style in Saif al-Sajjadiyah. You begin with asking for special blessings on Muhammad and ala Muhammad. وَحَبِّبْ إِلَيَّ مَا رَضَيْتَ لِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي مَا أَحْلَلْتَنِي. That, oh Allah, make me love what you have provided for me. You know, sometimes we have this problem. Allah has given us things and we don't like it. So Allah, make me appreciate and love what you have provided for me. وَيَسَّرْ لِي مَا أَحْلَلْتَنِي. And make easy for me what you have imposed upon me, the duties that I have to do. وَطَحِّرْنِي مِنْ دَنْسِي مَا أَسْلَفْتُ. دَنَسِي مَا أَسْلَفْتُ. And purify me of the evil of what I have committed in the past. وَمْنُحْ عَنِّي شَرَّ مَا قَدَّمْتُ. And erase the evil of which I have done in the past. You see, one is purifying the evil deed, and one is erasing it. And there is a slight difference. Erasing is just forgetting that. It's not even in your record. It doesn't even say this has been cancelled. Other is, changing the evil deeds into good deeds as a special favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we say, وَأَوْجِدْنِي حَلَاوَةَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَعَزِقْنِي بَرْدَ السَّلَامَةِ. Allah, let me find the sweetness of afiyah, which means well-being and good health, so that I get rid of this illness. وَعَزِقْنِي بَرْدَ السَّلَامَةِ. Let me taste the coolness of safety. وَاجْعَلْ مَخْرَجِي عَنْ عِلَّتِي إِلَىٰ عَفْوِكَ. And, O Allah, appoint for me, number one, a way out of my illness towards your pardon. وَمُتَحَوَّلِي عَنْ صَرَعَتِي إِلَىٰ تَجَاوُزِي. And the transformation of my infirmity and my illness so that I can understand your forbearance more. وَخَلَاسِي مِنْ كَرْبِي إِلَىٰ رَوْحِكَ. And so that I can escape from my distress towards your refreshment. When I'm under your protection, then I will feel that refreshment coming from you. وَسَلَامَتِي مِنْ هَذِهِ الشِّدَّةِ إِلَىٰ فَرَجِكَ. And safety from this hardship, under the wings of your relief. إِنَّكَ الْمُتَفَضِّلُ بِالْإِحْسَانِ. إِنَّكَ إنك المتفضل بالإحسان والمتطول بالامتنان والوحاب الكريم ذو الجلال والإكرام. You are graciously bountiful in beneficence, ever gracious in kindness, the generous, the giver, the possessor of majesty and munificence. Salawat parne ek baar aur. And so this is where we see that, you know, Imam in this dua, divided into these four segments, is not only talking about that, oh Allah, give me afia, you know, give me well-being, get me rid of this illness. No, we actually have to look at a broader picture there. We have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the health as well as for sickness. Because there are elements in illness where there is their positivity into some aspects of it, and yeah, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Now, we also looked at one segment especially where we said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you know, your special blessing to me during the time of illness is that you asked these two angels to write down good deeds for me. Even though I didn't even think about it, I didn't even talk about it, I did not even act on it. So neither on my level of mind and heart, or on the level of my tongue, or on the level of my body and limbs, I had done nothing, you know, to do that good. But you, out of your favor, you have actually asked the malaika that now that I have inflicted him with a disease or an illness, till that time, I would like to also favor him and to do the good things that he had been doing in the past, even though he is not doing that at this moment. Salawat parne ek baar. To understand this concept, this extra blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believers when they are in the state of illness, you know, one beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, would be very appropriate, quoted here from the sixth Imam, who says that the Prophet said one day, Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rafa ra'asuhu ila sama fatabassama. One day the Prophet was looking at the sky and then he smiled. So one of the companions there said, Ya Rasulullah, ra'aynaka رفعت رأسك إلى السماء فتبسمت. Ya Rasulullah, we see you looking at the app, you know, raising your face towards the heavens, and then you smiled. What happened? What did you see? And the Prophet says, yes, I was amazed at the two angels, you know, the angels who record the deeds for the people, who came down from the heavens to the earth looking for a believing person, a good doer, and looking for a place where he used to do the namaz, the musalla, so that they can write down the good deeds that he had done on that day, during the daytime and during the night time. فَلَمْ يَجِدَاهُ فِي مُصَلَّاهُ. They did not find him at the time of, you know, prayers at the musalla. فَعَرَجَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَقَالَ. They went to the heavens back, and they said to Allah, said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا عَبْدُكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَلَان. You know, we were looking for your believing servant, so and so. We looked for him in his normal place where he used to do the prayers, so that we can write down his, you know, good deeds of that day and that night. فَلَمْ نَصِبْهُ. We didn't find him. فَوَجَدْنَاهُ فِي حِبَالِكَ. But we found him to be in a restrained situation because of the illness that you have imposed on him. He was mariv. He was not feeling well. فقال الله عز وجل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now turns to those two angels who record the deeds of that mu'min, that believer, and he says, اُكْتُبَ لِعَبْدِي مِثْلَ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُهُ فِي صِحَّتِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ فِي يَوْمِهِ وَلَيْلَتِهِ مَا دَامَ فِي حِبَالِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you know orders these two malaika that write for this servant of mine similar good deeds that he was doing when he was in good health during the daytime and during the night time, as long as he is in this restrained state that I put him because of his illness. So all the good deeds that he was doing at that time, Allah says, even though he might not be able to do it because of his restrained situation, or not, might not be able to do it in the way he used to do it in the past, Allah says, during the state of illness and sickness, continue to write those good deeds in his record. فَإِنَّ عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَكْتُبَ لَهُ أَجْرَ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُهُ فِي صِحَّتِهِ إِذَا حَبَسْتُهُ عَنْهُ. Because I feel it's upon me to write to for him the reward of the good that he was doing when he was healthy, even in the time when I have put him in a restrained situation as far as his health is concerned. So this is where we have to realize that we might be in difficult situations, but look for the positive element. Not each of us has the strength, you know, to do that, including myself. We are weak, you know, human beings. But look at this dua when you recite it and try to make the best of that situation in which you find yourself, whether it is an illness or other challenges that we face in our life. You know, these are the days of Muharram where we are remembering the family of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, where we are remembering Imam Sajjad, when we are remembering Bibi Zainab. You know, remember the words that when they were presented to in the Darbar of Ibn Ziyad in Kufa, this Mal'oon comes to Bibi Zainab and says, what do you think of what Allah has done to your brother? What was the response of Bibi Zainab? Just think about her situation. A lady who lost almost all male members of her family, killed brutally on one day. A lady where she and all other women and children, including Imam Zainul Abidin and others there, you know, they were looted, their belongings were taken, their jewelry was taken, their abaya and maqame were taken, and also think about it that even the tents were burned, and then they are made prisoners, taken on the camels which didn't have any curtain, and then they are paraded in the streets of Kufa all the way to the Darbar of Ibn Ziyad. Look at all, you know, very difficult situation that Zainab has seen in those 2 days. And when this Mal'oon ibn Ziyad is asking, you know, what do you think that Allah has done for your brother? What was her response? That one sentence should be, you know, a help for us where she says, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. Ibn Ziyad, you don't know us. I did not see anything but beauty in what happened to my brother. So she took all the negativity and looked at the positive side. Then my brother, you know, was committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not give in to Yazid, even though he was killed. That was the positive element. And all different situations, this is where, you know, we have to realize that Karbala for us becomes a paradigm where we can seek examples for all different situations that we face in our own lives. Hazrat Alana Hussain, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam ke liye jo masaib aur jo mushkilat aur mazalim imam ne dekhe the ashur ke din ke hawale se, sham e ghariba ke hawale se, uske baad jo hai ahle haram ke sath jo mazalim hue hain aur uske baad aage badhiye asiri aur qaidi banne ke marahil, kis tarah se bazar kufa se guzar hua ibn ziyad ke darbar mein, phir kufa se damishq, raat ke halaat, raaste ke halaat, aur uske baad damishq mein pahunchna, جس طرح سے شہر کو سجایا گیا تھا، اس کے بعد ابن زیاد یزید بن معاویہ کے دربار میں پیش کیا گیا، اہل حرم کے نام لیے جا رہے تھے، یہ تمام عظیم مصائب تھے جس کو امام زین العابدین علیہ السلام نے دیکھا تھا. لیکن صرف یہ بات تھی کہ ہم سب برداشت کریں گے، اس لیے کہ اسیری اور قیدی کی حالت میں ہم نے بابا کے پیغام کو دنیا کے سامنے پہنچانا ہے. مقصد کو دیکھتے ہوئے یہ ایک پوزیٹیو ایلیمنٹ تھا جس نے اہل حرم کو اور امام سجاد کو یہ طاقت دی کہ مشکل سے مشکل حالات میں بھی اپنے جذبات پر قابو رکھا اور اپنے بابا کے پیغام کو دنیا تک پھیلایا ہے. امام زین العابدین کے لیے یہ مراحل آسان نہیں تھے. آپ سوچیں کہ جب کوئی کسی کے گھر موت واقع ہو جاتی ہے، وہ بھی اس طرح سے جس دردناک طریقے سے امام نے تمام چیزوں کو دیکھا ہے، لیکن پھر بھی ہم لوگ کہتے ہیں کہ وقت جو ہے مرہم بن جاتا ہے، لوگ آہستہ آہستہ ان باتوں کو بھولنا شروع کر دیتے ہیں. لیکن امام زین العابدین کے بارے میں جو روایت ملتی ہے کہ کم سے کم امام 20 سال تک مسلسل بابا پہ روتے رہے. خود امام کا یہ ذاتی صرف عزا کا سلسلہ نہیں تھا، یہ ایک لحاظ سے امام ہم لوگوں کو تیار کر رہے تھے کہ حسین کی یاد کو ہم ہمیشہ زندہ و جاوید رکھو عزاداری کے ذریعے. بلکہ امام نے تو اس طرح سے حسین کی یاد کو ملا دیا تھا پانی کے ساتھ. روزانہ جب برتن میں پانی لایا جاتا تھا کہ امام وضو کریں، جب پانی کو دیکھتے تھے تو امام زین العابدین کو بابا کی پیاس یاد آتی تھی. عزادار نے حسین کربلا میں عاشور کے دن سب سے پیاسا بندہ اگر تھا تو حسین ابن علی تھے، سبھی پیاسے تھے، لیکن امام کو معلوم تھا پانی کب ختم ہونے والا ہے، لہٰذا امام نے پانی کے استعمال کو بہت پہلے سے کم کر دیا تھا اپنے لیے، لیکن اس تشنگی اور پیاس کو ہمیشہ امام زین العابدین یاد کرتے رہے. اور جب پانی کو دیکھتے تھے بابا کی تشنگی یاد آتی تھی، اتنا کبھی کبھی روتے تھے کہ آنسو جو ہے جب پانی میں ٹپکتے تھے پانی مضاف ہو جاتا تھا، اس قابل اب نہیں تھا کہ اس سے وضو ہو سکے، دوبارہ دوسرا پانی لایا جاتا تھا. عزاداران حسین، ایک مرتبہ جو ہے امام کے جب گزر ہوا ہے بازار سے، بلکہ اکثر یہ بات تھی کہ وہ قصاب جانتے تھے بازار والے، اسپیشلی جو بچر تھا، وہ جب امام کو دور سے دیکھتا تھا تو وہ گوشت کے اوپر جو ہے ایک چادر ڈال دیتا تھا تاکہ امام کی نظر اس پر نہ جائے. کیوں؟ اس لیے کہ امام جب بھی گزرتے تھے رکتے تھے، اس قصاب سے پوچھتے تھے، یہ بتاؤ تم نے اس جانور کو ذبح کرنے سے پہلے تم نے اس کو پانی دیا تھا نہیں دیا تھا؟ جس پر وہ یہی کہتا تھا آپ کی جد کی شریعت ہے، مستحب ہے کہ اسے ذبح کرنے سے پہلے پانی دیا جائے. عزاداران حسین، ائمہ میں تلوار کا استعمال صرف علی اور حسین کے بارے میں ہوا ہے، لیکن علی کو صرف ضربت لگی تھی، امام حسین کو ذبح کر دیا گیا تھا. اس ذبیح اللہ کی یاد میں امام سجاد ہمیشہ کہتے تھے، لیکن ہائے میرے بابا کو جب ذبح کیا گیا کوئی پانی دینے والا اس وقت نہ تھا، بابا العطش العطش کہتے رہے اور میرے بابا کو ذبح کر دیا گیا. عزاداران حسین، ایک غلام جو امام سے بہت ہی قریبی تھا، اس نے ہمت کر کے امام کو تسلی دینے کے خاطر کہا کہ مولا کیا وہ وقت نہیں آ چکا ہے کہ آپ ان مصائب کو آہستہ آہستہ بھولنا شروع کر دیں؟ جس پر امام نے یہی کہا تھا تم نے میرے ساتھ انصاف نہیں کیا ہے. وہاں یعقوب کے واقعے میں دیکھو، اتنے بیٹے تھے زندہ تھے، یا اور یوسف بھی زندہ تھے، صرف غائب ہو چکے تھے.
تھے لیکن یعقوب اتنا روتے تھے کہ ان کی آنکھ کی بینائی ختم ہو گئی. اس کے بعد امام کہتے ہیں لیکن میری نظروں کے سامنے ایک دن میں کربلا میں 18 افراد میرے خاندان کے قتل ہو جاتے ہیں. اس غلام نے ہاتھ جوڑ کے مولا سے کہا کہ مولا آپ ہی تو فرماتے ہیں کہ اللہ کی خاطر قتل ہونا ہمارے خاندان کی عادت ہے. اس پر امام نے کہا میرے بابا کی قتل ہونا عادت تھی, اکبر کے برچی لگنا عادت تھی, قاسم کے جسم کا پامال ہونا عادت تھی, اصغر کے گلو پہ تیر لگا جس طرح سے گلو کو ذبح کر دیا گیا یہ بھی عادت مان لیتے ہیں, لیکن یہ بتاؤ میری ماں بہن اور پھوپھی کی چادر کو لوٹنا یہ بھی کیا ہمارے خاندان کا ورثہ بن چکا ہے؟ تم نے میرے ساتھ انصاف نہیں کیا ہے. امام سے جب بھی پوچھا گیا ہے مولا ان تمام مصائب میں سب سے مشکل گھڑی کب تھی؟ امام نے کربلا کو یاد نہیں کیا, شام غریبہ کو با یاد نہیں کیا, کوفہ کے بازار کو یاد نہیں کیا, ابن زیاد کے دربار کو یاد نہیں کیا, صرف 3 بار کہتے ہیں الشام الشام الشام.
الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون. خداوند اس قلیل بات قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوند اسی عزائے حسین کے صدقے میں جو بھی بیمار ہیں, خصوصاً وہ لوگ جو COVID-19 کی وجہ سے پریشان ہیں, خداوند ان کی بیماری اور ان کی پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما. خداوندہ سجد سجاد کا واسطہ, ان کے اس کلمات کا واسطہ جو ہم لوگوں نے اس دعا میں آج پڑھا ہے, خداوندہ ہم سب کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ. شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں, خصوصاً پاکستان کے جو حالات ہو رہے ہیں, خداوندہ شیعوں کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ. تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم. معتن حسين.